Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. Again, I always look forward to the music ministry of the church and every service. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Sunday nights, we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And we're in the third year of his public ministry, coming to the end of that, actually. And it's the third year was the year of opposition because they want him dead. They do not want his influence, the scribes and the Pharisees and all the religious rulers. And Jesus is completing his discipling of the apostles and teaching them and preparing them for what they would soon be looking at, and that's the apostolic age after Christ would ascend up into heaven. And they would carry on the work that he would have established, which is the New Testament church. And so a lot of things are taking place here in this third and final year of opposition. Last week, we studied on Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Jesus used the child to address the disciples' desires to be the greater than the others. And this is not something that he wanted them to focus on. He wanted them to focus on babysitting or doing whatever the least of the things that are appraised by man. And it was a lesson on humility, basically. And the last verse there, Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, said this: "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And so he taught them a very important lesson, as well as us. We should not be looking to see how great we can be in man's eyes. We need to be great in God's eyes. We need to get great in accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish, no matter how small or how large that, or big that might be. So a lesson on humility. The next lesson, we're going to go on down, verse 6 down to verse 10. He uses this child that he picks up to be able to bring to us the next lesson. So go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, we thank you, Lord, for opportunity to be back in church tonight and for what we've already been blessed by. As we've read this passage of Scripture, I pray, God, that you would help us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive the truths that we need to learn and apply to our lives even today. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So while Jesus was holding this little child after he taught them on humility, he gives them a warning concerning offenses. In doing this, he also, in verse 10, reveals to us something about every child. And it's a blessing to have this. When he says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Every child has an angel. We don't know exactly how it all works. We know what the Bible teaches. And Jesus is very clear about this. That's a blessing. Guardian angel. Angels beholding the face of God while somehow or another being able to give the comfort or strength or whatever it might be. But the Bible reveals that children are connected to God the Father. Could this be until the age of accountability, that grace that God has upon them? It could very well be that. But doesn't say, but what it does say is that every child has an angel. And then he says something here. He gives a warning in verse 6 and 7. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of a sea. Amen. That's our Lord and Savior. I don't think he likes this idea of abusing children. But then he says, woe unto the world because of offenses. This would be considered as an offense. And then he says, for it must needs be that offenses come. It must, this is God saying this to us. It must. In God's plan for humanity, for an eternity, there's a must. Must needs be that offenses come. Sad to say, but there's going to be child abuse. But I'm telling you that God, there's nothing that he hates any more than the abuse of children. Different levels of child abuse. But there's going to be child abuse. And as we look back over in time, they're innocent. Parents sometimes take advantage of the innocency of their children, and they might abuse them verbally. They might abuse them in so many different ways, and the world the same way, because they're innocent and they're trusting. But the Bible says it must needs be that offense coming out. That's hard to understand. But God wants you to understand exactly what he says. There's going to be all kinds of abuses in the world that we live in. We just hear about just a surface of the abuse that is truly going on. And it sickens most of us as we hear about human trafficking. We hear, and more and more of that's taking place today with the demand for pornography and on and on and on. There's going to be all kinds of evil offenses on mankind by mankind. At this point in my life, after 40 years, some years of ministry, and I've experienced a lot, nothing surprises me anymore. I've experienced and had to deal with some things that I could not believe it would be possible that a person could do such evil and offenses toward their own children, toward other children, and many other things. But in God's righteous accountability of humanity, it must needs be. That's what we're looking at here. In God's righteous accountability of humanity, God never causes or excuses it, but must needs be, has to allow. God is could stop all abuse, and he will. In heaven, praise the Lord, there's going to be no abuse. There's going to be no evil. But today there is. Yeah. He does say in verse 7 and verse B, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. There is accountability. There is accountability. For most of us, as we read this and study this, we don't fully understand it. But what we do understand, if God said there must needs be, that means in order for God to hold man accountable, he would have to have a free will to do what he does. If God dictated what every one of us did, we would be no more than robots, and we would not do anything that he would not want us to do. But God has given us a free will, and somehow or other in God's scheme of humanity and eternity and accountability and righteousness, the free will is going to come into play in every one of our lives. So there must needs be. God allows man a free will, and if he allows man a free will, man's free will of sin will impact other lives, even innocent lives. Woe to that man. Now, there's some things to have a better understanding of this. I mean, not that we can fully understand it, but to know it has to do with God's righteous accountability of humanity and what purpose God has with humanity. We understand the Bible reveals that God created and then established a human kingdom that would exist as long as God would have it to exist. He designed time for this human kingdom. There is no time in eternity. There's no time in heaven. The only place that you'll find time is in the human kingdom. God designed time, established when he established the human kingdom, and he did this for his pleasure. Man was created by God for God in his image and likeness. And God has a plan and a purpose. And throughout this human kingdom, God has a plan and a purpose. And in this human kingdom, after the sin entered the picture, it must needs be that there's going to be offenses. But God created and then established the human kingdom that has continued up to now. But as we read the book of Revelations, it will come to an end. And after that, the end of time. Around the same time, God allowed Satan to establish a temporary satanic spiritual kingdom. The fall of Satan, we have some insight into this as far as in heaven, and the Lucifer and Satan himself was cast out of heaven. And so he allowed him to come, and we find that he is a spiritual being, and he has a spiritual but satanic kingdom, which is temporary. The Bible reveals where that's going to come to an end. That's going to come to an end at the very same time the human kingdom comes to an end. Between now and the end of the human kingdom and now and the end of the satanic kingdom, God has a design plan. And in his design plan for this righteous accountability, man has been given a free will. And because of a free will, his will impact other people's lives. But God is very much aware of it. Even the angels in heaven are aware of it. Both the human kingdom and the satanic spiritual kingdom, both having connections to God's eternal heavenly kingdom. We find all three of them right here. The offenses come by way of the devil. Man is vulnerable to these offenses. And God is connected to these kingdoms through his eternal heavenly kingdom. The only one of the kingdoms that is eternal, that is not limited by time, is eternity, heaven. Life on earth has always been and is today affected by both. Your life has been affected by human kingdom, and your life has been affected by a spiritual satanic kingdom, and your life has been affected by an heavenly kingdom. Wow. The Bible calls Satan's temporary spiritual kingdom and God's eternal heavenly kingdom light and darkness. Yeah. Matter of fact, in John chapter 3, and I trust you're taking this in because this is what we know. This is how we can make understanding of the teachings of Christ when it comes to there. It must needs be that offenses come. In John chapter 3, in verse 19, Jesus says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world through Jesus Christ, full revelation of God, full revelation of the heavenly kingdom, past, present, and future. How it's going to impact humanity, past, present, and future. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." That evil comes from that satanic kingdom and the influence of the devil and his demons. And he's got a lot to work with man, because man has a fallen nature inside of him, which makes man capable of any sin known to man. So we have a warning concerning offenses. A warning, it must needs be, that the offense is coming. And then a deterrent to offenses. A clear description of the eternal place of judgment of those who offend. Go back with me, our text, Matthew chapter 18. In verse 8 and 9, "Wherefore, know these things. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off." Now, he's not literally telling us to cut them off, but this is something that is as severe. You don't want to be the one offending and be cast into a devil's hell. Any one of us could offend because we have a sin nature. And we are, if you will, influenced by spiritual warfare. So, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed," eternal life, "halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire," or damnation, or death and hell. "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." Now, what we're looking at here is what to do to keep from offenses that lead to judgments. And every offense will be judged. And one of the most severe is offenses toward children. So what he's telling us here is to get rid of what leads to offenses. Understanding that there is a human kingdom, which also there is a satanic spiritual kingdom of Satan, and there is a kingdom of God which is eternal, which is most important for us to understand and learn and yield to. Thy hand would be considered as touch. If touching causes you to have certain thoughts, to lead to certain sins, stop touching. Because we communicate many times through touch. Have you ever been touched by somebody and you think, oh, that's eerie? That just didn't feel right. Something wrong here. Yeah, that's probably because there was something wrong there. There is a satanic influence that will work through the hand or touch. And then you felt a touch from somebody that brings the comfort and the blessings of God. My mom had a way of comforting me. I remember going, I had my first tooth extraction, and I went to the dentist because there was some problems with it, and I passed out, and my mom took me home. I got home, and I opened up my eyes, and there was my mom touching my forehead, rubbing my forehead with an ice pack on it, and I still remember that touch, because that brought a calmness to know my mom was there watching over me as a child. Praise the Lord for touch. When touch is of God. But not all touch is of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says over in the 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, now concerning the things whereof we wrote unto me, and they had wrote to Paul concerning sexual context and sexual touch and marriage. Now concerning the things there whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, because sometimes that's what touching will lead to. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So what was... we always had, when I was growing up in church, no PC, no personal contact. We have that in our youth department, based upon touch. How many would agree that touching your mom or your dad touching you feels different than a boy or a girl touching you? You don't have to, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Totally different. And only you can guard against touch. But if touch is leading to an offense, stop touching. If touching could possibly lead to an offense, then you should not want to put that other person through that, and so stop touching. Amen. Why? Because there is spiritual warfare. And both are impacting the lives of humanity. And we have a sin nature. When you get saved, you have a godly, Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. Yeah. That can influence for right and good. So, if touching is a problem, stop touching. Err on the side of caution. We like to do that. As a father, I made sure that our daughters erred on the side of caution. I think every godly father here would say, I want to make sure my daughters err on the side of caution, and I'm not going to let them have the tendency to allow touch to lead to something else. So, or we're just going to make a rule, as long as they're at a certain age in our house, we're not going to have touch. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The foot. Places you go. Have you ever been to a place and you just sense the darkness, an eerie feeling? What'd you do? I left. Don't go there. If the foot is going to take you into a place, you're going to direct yourself into a place where there is temptations or there is a possibility of you being an offense or being offended, then don't go there. You have that free will. God has given you a free will. That's why he can righteously hold you accountable for whatever you do, is because you have a free will, and the Satan, the devil, can't make you do anything. We have to guard against it. So if your foot wants to take you somewhere that you shouldn't go, don't cut it off, just stop going there. Because basically is what he says. Stop letting it lead you to a place you shouldn't go. Wow. Don't go there. The eye. Have you ever seen something that you can't get out of your mind? That's what happens when a mind looks at pornography. And the younger the mind is when you view that kind of satanic garbage, the more of an impact and a scar it will have on your minds. Young people, understand that. Don't let the devil talk you into looking at things that you know you shouldn't look at. Yeah. Because then you'll share that with somebody else, and then you will be an offense to somebody else. You'll be an influence on those that you influence. And the Bible says you will give an account of that influence that you have on other people. Must needs be the offense cometh. But woe to that one by whom the offense cometh. Don't be that one. Don't be that one. Don't look at those things. Don't focus on those things. Get your mind off of those things. Get your eyes on something better. With that in mind, he talks to us about those things that we need to cut off or stop yielding to and stop letting control us. And he gives a description of the reality a final judgment. Can I tell you, the world has lost its fear of hell. Children have lost their fear of hell, and those children grow up to be adults. And when an adult loses their fear of hell, then they will be an offense to humanity. When they don't believe in a God, a reality of a God, and they don't believe in the reality of a place of hell, you have a different society. And we're seeing the results of that today. Back in our text, I'm not going to be much longer here, but our text, Matthew chapter 18. Everlasting fire. Having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting everlasting fire. Don't yield to that. Having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Don't yield to that. Because it's everlasting. And it is torment. If you look with me over to Mark's account. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 9, gives us the very same account, but he adds a little bit more insight into this idea of hell. In Mark in chapter 9 and verse 43, the Bible says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." Wow. He said, I want you to understand, there's not going to be any parties in hell. You won't have any friends in hell. It's going to be eternal torment. And the Bible says, where the fire never shall be quenched. He goes on, he describes it even a little bit deeper. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In verse 47, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus would say that they would cast them into a furnace of fire. In Matthew 13, verse 42, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's designed by God as a deterrent to offenses. It's real. Possibly the worst thing about a person going to a place of hell, as the Bible describes all of it, is found, and I'll close with this, in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 10. There's going to come an end to Satan's kingdom. Satan's spiritual darkness is only given a certain amount of time. And the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The scariest thing about going to a place of hell, it's where the devil's going to be, and all the demons that followed him, and every human being that rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior. You want to spend eternity in a devil's hell? Or would you want to spend eternity with a God in eternal heaven? Let's focus on our God. Let's focus on His will for our lives. And let's commit ourselves to turn away from offenses, to be the light that Christ wants us to be. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Hell is a place of torment, not of mercy. No mercy. Mercy is being offered today. Grace is being offered today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't put it off. Today's the day. Once you know Christ as your Savior, make sure that we are not looking to offend. looking to help others to know the Savior. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of this lesson that Jesus taught his disciples and have recorded for us to learn as well. Lord, help us to learn this very powerful, powerful lesson on offenses. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.